At Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive.
All right. Welcome to the Table Talk podcast. My name is Melody Hartzler and I'm the owner. Hey, everybody. I just wanted to come on and share a little bit about one of the nutrients that we just talked about on the podcast. As Sunny was sharing her story, she also mentioned how impactful vitamin D was to her health journey and how vitamin D deficiency was the root cause of her symptoms of fatigue and depression. And so we know that vitamin D is important in so many different processes in the body. And one of the also important things about vitamin D is it regulates the amount of calcium and production of certain protein like osteocalcin and plays an important role in bone health. And so because of that increase in calcium, we really want to make sure that vitamin D is actually sending, you know, our increase in calcium from the vitamin D, that extra calcium will actually go to the bones and not stay in the arteries and cause calcifications of the arteries. So one additional important nutrient that we didn't mention on the podcast today is vitamin K2. And so vitamin K2 is actually what we consider a nutrient duo. So using vitamin D with vitamin K2 is really important because vitamin K, while we know about the clotting factor aspects of vitamin K1, vitamin K2 is actually, instead of found in green leafy vegetables like spinach where K1 is found, K2 is actually typically found in most dairy products such as fermented milk or kefir or butter from from grass-fed dairy. So it's something that would not everyone, especially if you're avoiding dairy, is going to get in their diet. And so supplementing can have a huge impact. And so vitamin K2, one of the really important roles is it directs the absorbed calcium to the bones and helps to promote the bone building and prevent future breakdown. So it actually has studies that it increases that activated osteoclastin after the administration of vitamin K2. It stimulates the cells that promote bone building and also inhibits cells that break down bone. So there's evidence to use it in patients that have low bone mineral density. And so patients that can benefit from this might have low bone mineral density scores when they're tested. But really, there's data also in some of the, you know, preventing that calcification of the arteries. There's even some interesting cancer data as well on K2, which we're not going to get into. But I just wanted to point that out because taking vitamin D is super important, especially if you're in the northern half of the United States. But like Sunny, even you could be in Southern California and have vitamin D deficiency. So ask a provider about checking your vitamin D3 levels. And also, we normally recommend a little bit higher targets, but talk to your healthcare provider about what an appropriate target for you is, or meet with one of our clinical team to discuss that. But make sure that if you are at risk for low bone mineral density or you know, have concerns about that, that you discuss that with your provider as well and consider a product that has vitamin K2 and vitamin D. So we'll link in the show notes a blog post that we did about the nutrient duo and also send you some links to some products that have both K2 and D that you can check out. So remember, vitamin D also needs its nutrient duo of K2 to really make sure that calcium is going into your bones and supporting strong bones. And founder of Farm to Table. And today we have a new sort of unique type of podcast that we're going to be doing over the series of the next couple months. You'll hear some of these, but we wanted to really help you guys understand a little bit about our background and just share some personal stories. And so I'm going to be having some of our team join that are pharmacists on the Farm to Table team. They're sitting around the table with me, the virtual table with me today. And they're just going to share you a little bit about how they got to where they are today. And I think the purpose of this really is just to really help you see like how functional medicine one can be a journey and something that's not an overnight quick fix, but also how it led a lot of us to be passionate about what we're passionate about today. A lot of providers actually don't learn about functional medicine until they're out in practice and they encounter a situation, whether it's their own health story, which is a lot of times where we start, or maybe it is a story of a family member. So a spouse is struggling, a parent is struggling, or even one of their patients is struggling, and they had to dive deep in to figure out how to get that person well without conventional medicine because maybe conventional medicine was failing them. That's experience we hear a lot where we hear patients tell us, I've tried this. My doctor just wants to put me on more medications, or the medication isn't working, or the medication is doing side effects, or my labs look normal, but I still feel terrible. And so those kinds of conversations are something we hear every day. And a lot of us experience that as a patient ourselves. So that's the purpose of us really sharing our stories. So why don't you guys introduce yourselves real quick? So Sunny, if you want to start, just tell everybody, since it's your first time on the podcast, who you are and where you're from.
My name is Sunny Madera, and I'm an integrative health pharmacist. And I've been a pharmacist for about 15 years. I'm currently living in Northeast Florida, but I have bounced around the United States over my lifetime. And I'm getting ready to move. I'm not exactly sure where yet, but I will be.
That's exciting. Yeah. And then Nicole's been on the podcast before, but Nicole, if you want to remind everybody where you're from and where you're located now.
I'm Nicole Grams. I'm a pharmacist in Wisconsin, focusing on anxiety mostly, but also general health. So glad to be back for this.
Awesome. Thank you. So Sunny, why don't you just give us a little bit of background about what got you into functional medicine? So wherever you want to start on that journey is fine.
Okay. I actually have to go back just a little bit further. I was actually a licensed practical nurse for 6 years before I became a pharmacist. And it's relevant to the story because I loved what I was doing. I love helping people and taking care of them. But I realized that people were being readmitted for not taking care of themselves, not taking their medications. And I thought to myself, well, let me go to pharmacy school and become the medication expert, because I've been told that I have a really good way of connecting with my patients. They feel comfortable. They open up. I develop good rapport. And I just thought, well, if I become a pharmacist, I can tell them all about their medications and they're going to be healthy and nobody's going to be admitted to the hospital anymore. And so I went to pharmacy school and I did really well. I love what I do. I'm very passionate about talking to patients and connecting with them. And I do develop good relationships with them. But about 4 years after I graduated from pharmacy school, I started having issues. And it was just weird. I started having depression symptoms and fatigue, severe fatigue that I couldn't get out of bed. That was mostly it, the depression and the fatigue. And I went to my doctor. We did the labs. Everything looked normal. My doctor convinced me that it's probably marital stress. I'm like, who doesn't have marital stress? But I bought into it. I said, okay, I'll try an antidepressant. Took it for a few weeks and nothing changed. And instead I started having horrible side effects. And I went back after I had been reading on my own about vitamin D deficiency. I asked the doctor to check my vitamin D level and he wouldn't do it because he said, you're not at risk. You live in Southern California. It's unnecessary. And he wouldn't do it. So I started looking into functional medicine. I had just heard about it because I had gone to a food is medicine conference where they talked about vitamin D deficiency. And I said, I got to figure this out. So I found a provider nearby who checked that level and a few other things. And sure enough, my vitamin D was in the toilet. It was 8. And so I got on a high dose vitamin D supplement, also a thyroid supplement because my TSH had been creeping up, but it was still within the normal. And when I tell you that it was the fatigue I was experiencing was severe, I went to work. I wouldn't even brush my hair to go to work. And I'd come back home and just go to bed. And it was devastating. So after about, 4 weeks of vitamin D therapy, I just remember waking up that day and feeling like the color was back in the world. And ever since then, I just thought, I just knew this is what I need to do, because how many other people are out there? And what if I had stayed on that antidepressant? Oh, I forgot to mention that when I went back to ask for the vitamin D level, my doctor convinced me that I had fibromyalgia because I had started developing severe bone pain. And that's when I fired him. And I said, I'm not taking the SSRI or the new medication. I'm going to find a new provider. And here I am. I've just been since 2011.
Yeah. And I think that story, like I think about like a lot of the functional medicine stories I've heard is like how simple of an intervention that was, right? Like a vitamin D level. And the crazy part is like, I just can't even like the fact that your doctor was like, no, that's unnecessary is like mind blowing to me. And that's, I struggle with that too, because we get, I mean, I have letters sitting here on my desk from a lab company that I've got to like write more codes on to justify why we did these labs for patients. But it's very frustrating that we have so much evidence on a single nutrient, right? And that they're like, nope, it's fine. You're fine. No one here is vitamin D deficient. We've got the sun. But like, okay, how many people in Southern California actually see the sun on a normal basis if they're going to work and, you know, staying inside and their employer not getting outside for lunch and things? I'm sort of there with you. My first vitamin D level, I think, was like 13, 14 when I was starting to prepare to have kids and trying to figure out my own health story. And it's crazy that it's not standard of care. And I will say, I know it's not standard of care across the board, but I will say like the primary care practice that I worked with for the last 6 years, and they were always checking vitamin D. Everyone got their vitamin D level. And it was like, I felt like I was in like a new place. Like these people like knew what I was talking about. Everyone was checking it, but it was a struggle. Sometimes it wasn't covered. And you're just like, and you have to, in order to get insurance to pay for vitamin D levels, sometimes you have to label them. And actually most of the time have to like code it as vitamin D deficiency. So we're just assuming you have vitamin D deficiency to be able to get this level paid for, which is sort of mind-blowing as well, that there's not like a screening for vitamin D deficiency code. Like there's a screening for diabetes or a screening for other things. If you look at the statistics across the board, like half the country is vitamin D deficient. And that's even like at the standard level of less than 30, right? Not even considering what our optimal levels are. So awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. I think people like the simpleness of that, I think is powerful to say like how simple, whether it's a nutrient depletion or maybe it's CoQ10 depletion from a statin that someone is experiencing and they're having muscle pain and weakness and fatigue and they're not, or maybe they're depleted in CoQ10 regardless of taking a statin, but there's so many nutrients that can play a big role in our health. I find iron is also one that a lot of people are deficient in and don't realize. And so ferritin is like our sort of gas tank of iron, like the stores of iron. And we test that a lot for people that have fatigue, and we'll do like an anemia panel, which includes your blood count, your CBC, a ferritin, and also looks at B12 and folate, which are important markers for making red blood cells. Because if you don't have the proper ability to carry oxygen throughout your body, you're certainly going to be tired. But then there's also the fact that those energy powerhouse of our cells, the mitochondria, are needing iron for so many of the different reactions. But long story to say that like half the people I check, their ferritin level are like less than 20. And an optimal level is something around 75, sort of in the middle of the range. And so I see so many women, whether they've had heavy bleeding or older women that are on PPIs, which is those proton pump inhibitors that changes, get sort of the acid in your stomach, but it, you need acid to absorb iron. So there's all these like little interventions. I think so many times providers are like, oh, I have to fully study functional medicine or integrative medicine, like before I can really impact people. But like your provider, if they had checked that vitamin D level without having you to search for this other person, like they could have made a huge impact in your life by just checking one level and replacing one nutrient. So I think sometimes we think we have to have everything we need to know out there, which is impossible, right? There's always new evidence, new things happening. Yeah. And so I think it's a good reminder that like one little intervention sometimes can make a huge difference and huge impact.
I know that experience is what propelled me into getting further into functional medicine, because I was had been a pharmacist for 4 years by then, and people were not getting any better, even though I was telling them all about their medications and explaining it all to them. And I just knew that this was a way. I'm just passionate about helping people, and this is a good thing. It gets overlooked so easily. Me as a healthcare provider, I knew all the questions to ask, and even I was led down the wrong way. What if I hadn't gone to that Food as Medicine conference? I would have stayed on that SSRI, which I'm not saying that they're not effective, but in my case, it was not the root cause of what was happening with me. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to add Cymbalta for the fibromyalgia that I had, which I did not have. So it's scary to me to think about how many people are out there potentially being on medications that they don't really need, or just with undiagnosed and untreated nutrient deficiencies in this case, or any other root cause of disease, right? That's what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. That could be a whole other podcast in itself on root causes of fibromyalgia. We should put that one on the list. So, Nicole, anything you want to add or a little bit about your...
My journey is a little bit different. I came to functional medicine after I have been through all of my health stuff. In hindsight, I could have used functional medicine way sooner than I actually did because there's a reason I'm an anxiety coach. I was one big ball of stress and anxiety for years and years and years. By the time I actually had labs done for like cortisol labs, they were like, oh, this is first thing they said, is, you've been under a lot of stress, haven't you? Like, how did you know? Thank you.
No, but thanks for confirming. Right.
In hindsight, my hormones were all out of whack because I was so stressed all the time, trying to control everything that I couldn't control. There was a lot of mindset stuff that I had to work on too. And also my hormones were going crazy, but I didn't know it because I was on birth control. And it took several years for that to kind of be an issue, and it started showing up. And very long story short, I started having some issues and ended up getting a hysterectomy because couldn't figure out what was going on. My doctors didn't tell me what was going on. And that decision was easier for me personally because I had decided I didn't want to have any children. So like that at least wasn't as traumatizing for me as it could be for so many people that might have gone down a similar path. But yeah, I ended up with complications from a procedure and ended up in the hospital for 9 days. And it was like day six before I was like, can somebody get me like a nutritional drink or something? Because I hadn't been able to eat anything. My bowels had shut down. Like I couldn't, like it was very dramatic. I was taking potassium so my levels wouldn't go crazy, but I could have used a lot of guidance from a hormonal perspective, from a stress perspective, but I ended up healing myself after that and sort of started looking into food because I was like, you know what? People have been talking about food for a while. I don't know much about it. Let me start reading. And it was just my own side journey as a pharmacist that had been licensed for several years already. Let me read about nutrition and find out what this is all about. And then it sort of went down this rabbit hole of, oh my gosh, what are we doing to our bodies with all of the chips and all the snacks mm-hmm. and all the sodas and all this stuff, and kind of led me to functional medicine and really being able to see a bigger picture of what sort of things actually contribute to health and what things might have a really big impact. Sleep being one of them, which is something I was sorely lacking during the stress days.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot, is sleep's impact on health. And we can circle back to, I think we did a whole podcast talking about sleep as a foundation. So we'll link that in the show notes. But yes, it's amazing, I think. And I think too, like, hearing your story reminds me of so many people that come and they're like, what if mm-hmm. I would have known this? And what if I would have done this differently? And so can you speak to a little bit about that with like mindset of like, you right. didn't know all these things when you Absolutely. Were experiencing that. And yes, maybe the outcome could have been different, but like, how do you sort of coach right. yourself now into like
the living life without regret factor? I really look back on it as if I had not gone through this, I would not have been ready to hear the message that I needed to hear. And I think that's true of so many people. Like if you really take an objective look at your mindset at the time, would I have been willing to hear, oh, you need to stop trying to control everything around you? Because I was like planning a wedding, trying to build a house, like all of the things all at the same time and mm-hmm. just going crazy about all of it. I would not have been ready to hear that message of, all right, how can we release control of things around you? How can we maybe choose something better to eat than the chips and the soda that you're grabbing on your 5 minutes you have for a break in retail pharmacy, right? Like, and I know that at least that part is shifting, yeah. but like I had to eat quick. I had to eat a bite and go back to work and come and have another bite and get back to work. Like I wasn't in a place where I would have been willing to change my dietary patterns, I guess, or, you know, believed that stress was causing it because I thought being in control was the thing that would help me the most, right? Turns out, newsflash, it's not. Yeah. But yeah, I would not have been ready at the time. And there's anytime I start to feel regret of, should I have made this decision? Could I have done this differently? Yeah, I could have. And I have no guarantee that it would have been better right now for me, because I don't know what would have happened if I had made the other choice, right? It's less useful to dwell in the what if, what might have happened, than it is to say, okay, this is where I am right now. What do I want to do with it?
Yeah. And how is that going to impact how you help other people too that are experiencing those similar struggles? So, yeah. As far as like for both of you, I guess, on your journeys, do you feel like that there was like one sort of aha moment that you had that maybe you already spoke to it or maybe you didn't, but was there a time that you felt like there was a sort of spark that you were like, oh my goodness, this is what I have to do for the rest of my life sort of thing?
I think I talked about it a little bit, unless you want to go first, Nicole.
My aha moment was when I started learning about plastic, to be honest, and looking at all the, like, it was one of the books that I was reading because I'm an avid reader and I had gotten through a couple of nutrition things and it was like, oh, what are these, was toxins? What is this all about? And then it was like, oh my gosh, it's everywhere. I almost had an anxiety attack when I walked back to, into the pharmacy because I'm like surrounded by everything plastic. I'm like, I got to do something about this. Right. So that was my aha moment personally.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that. Like, I've thought about before in the pharmacy, like touching some of the pills or handling a lot of things, but powders get into the air if you're compounding. And I swear, like, every compounding male pharmacist I've ever seen has male powder and baldness. And I'm like, there's something to do with you, like, touching this, like, smelling this, like, that's affecting your hormones. We know finasteride and things like that are toxic, but I just wonder about other things, right? Maybe there's like an impact from chemicals, even like in the pharmacy environment, that could have contributed to certain things. But yeah, I never really thought about like all the plastic, and I'm sure there was BPA on all of those
and
labels,
the receipt,
like the receipts. Yeah. Oh my goodness. How many receipts have I stapled to a bag in the past? Yes. Oh man, I never think about those receipts, but yes. Wow. So there's probably, yeah, I probably need to do a detox after I'm done with this. Just be like, oh, this is, I haven't been in a pharmacy for like 9 years, but I probably still have a lot of BPA in my body. Sunny, is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Yeah. Like I said, I talked about it a little bit. I went to that Food as Medicine conference and thank God that I did, because that's the first time I had been to something like that. And just when they talked about health and from that perspective, and that's where I learned about vitamin D. And that's when I went back and I asked my doctor to check the vitamin D level and he wouldn't. So that was one. But then another one was when I went to a natural supplements conference in San Diego by Scripps. And they had Tiarona Low Dog. I don't know if you guys have heard of her. Okay. Yeah. So she presented about maternal health. And when she talked about, there had been some studies looking at fetal blood, like fetal cord blood, and what they found in the blood, like all the toxins. For me, that was huge. Like, I just thought, like, this is all information that we should all have. Like, everything that we put in or on our bodies is important. We need to know where it's coming from, the quality, how the types of effects on the body. If babies are being born already exposed, you think that they're coming from the safe environment in your in their mother's womb, but they're already being born with high levels of different toxins. I mean, that for me was like the second big aha. Like, this is huge. Like, I really need to do my part. I feel the calling to help people in the best way that I can. And I feel like informing them, sharing them, you need to know about this and let's check on these other things. And I don't know. It was just a huge moment for me. I was ready to like leave, walk away from my life and like follow Tiarona Low Dog and be like, teach me.
Like out the door. You're like, please, let me get there. Yeah, she does a lot of work in that space. She actually helped formulate, I think, some of the supplements through one of the Innate Response, I think, some of the food-based supplements. She does a lot of webinars for them at least. But yeah, I think I'm trying to think of what my, I asked you guys that question and then I'm like, oh, what was my moment? But I think just like, I went to this one doctor that was, he was holistic, but he was not, like, he did like a stool test and he did like one intervention based on that and was like, oh, here, you need this antibiotic. But then there was like nothing else, which obviously we know that we do way more than just like that remove phase. And then from the stress standpoint, he, I don't know. It was, I don't know if it was more of that like male superiority type, like complex factor in like the patient relationship, but he was just basically like, you're too stressed. And he like basically threw like an acupuncture needle, like into my head. Like he did acupuncture, but it was just like tagging me on the top of my head. Like you calm down. And I was just like, okay, I need something else here. And I think that was just like, okay, I got to figure this out on my own maybe. And I was expecting a lot of him as a provider, like that like he knew more about this than maybe he actually did. But I think it was my thing, like, okay, I have to dive into the literature. I have to figure out like what's going on here and like be my own advocate like in this process. But yeah, I just still remember sitting there. I'm like, whoa. I mean, I've had acupuncture since after that, but it just seemed like it was very like, here's your needle on your head. Calm down. So anyways, yeah. Well, are there any other patient stories that you guys might have of like patients that have come to you and maybe like experience like radical change through the functional medicine process that you sort of want to highlight before we wrap up?
It's always starting with the basics. I had a client experiencing weight gain, fatigue, depression, not sleeping well. And so we just started with the basics. Like you said, you don't have to have, there's no way to know everything, but the things that you do know, let's look at what's going on. Let's order some labs based on what she told me. I suspected vitamin D deficiency. Let's look at her thyroid, a couple of other things. I remember that from her past, she had mentioned there had been a leak in her home. So I recommended the oats to check for mold markers. And sure enough, it all came back. Vitamin D deficiency was low, a subclinical hypothyroidism. I had her get her previous labs. I saw the TSH creeping up. And then sure enough, the oats came back and it showed the fungal markers. I helped her just get on the right supplement, talk to her doctor about getting on thyroid medication. They tried her at first. They didn't want to because it was still within that normal range, right? But she had been hanging out in the ones and now she was at like 3.5.
Yeah. 3.5.
It's not normal for her.
Really?
That's true, because some people actually are living up there and it's become their new normal. They don't realize how
until they get corrected.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we got her on that. And then she's not done yet with the protocol, with the cell core, but she's already feeling better. And I feel like that's a big success. There's still other things to work on. We got to dig into her hormones next, but I think that's a really good one.
That's awesome.
You start with the basics, just like you said, and you really have to dig into their history, pay attention to the things that they tell you, a client, but it's a friend of mine too. So I remember she might not have thought to tell me about the leak, potential mold exposure, or even thought about it, but I remembered.
Yeah, that's a really important point about like the functional medicine process and like hearing their story, because so often we talk a lot that you only have 15 minutes, maybe less, with your provider in their office if it's a traditional medical model. And 15 minutes is not enough to dig out that you had a leak in your house, or that you had mold in your basement, or that you got bit by a tick 10 years ago, or whatever like the situation might be. Like in that 15 minutes, they're probably going to do their physical exam. They're going to also maybe ask you some questions while they're doing the physical exam, but it's going to be very basic review of systems, finding out your symptoms, but it's not as much of that history taking. And so that's a big thing for me too, is one of the patients recently that I was working with, she had been gone, she's extreme anxiety, had gone to an endocrinologist because she was having hot flashes that in the middle of the night. So she was getting estrogen therapy. She had also had a hysterectomy, so she wasn't on progesterone, although I think there are some benefits even post-hysterectomy to using progesterone in a lot of people. But so she came to me and very, very honed in on like, I'm having a hormone problem and I'm waking up sweaty. I'm all these symptoms. But as I was listening to her story, she told me, I wake up in the middle of the night sweaty. I am also shaky. I'm nauseous. I eat some crackers and then I feel better. And so I said, my first thought is you're having a low blood sugar episode in the middle of the night, because the crackers, the key here in the story was the crackers make you feel better, right? If it was estrogen related, you're not going to feel better when you eat saltine crackers, right? So we put her on a CGM. She, sure enough, dropping to 55 in the middle of the night. That's when she's waking up with these symptoms. And unfortunately, there's still a lot of work that we have to do, but I think like just balancing like the protein and the carbs for her made a big difference in the impact in sleep. And, you know, again, like I wouldn't have, and I think one of the reasons why, and she was so focused on, why didn't my endocrinologist tell me, why didn't this person that's specialized in hormones and blood sugar and all this stuff know to think about that? But I'm thinking like, well, you probably had 10 minutes with her. I mean, some of these endocrinologists see like 20 patients a day. So she didn't ask, she heard you say that you have night sweats and you're waking up in the middle of the night, but there was probably not time for like the extensive story of what makes it feel better and, you know, all this other thing. So I don't necessarily fault the traditional medical system for not hearing some of these things because they don't have time in just the model that they're being asked to work in, whether that's in the community pharmacy or the physician's office or specialist office. But one of my other stories recently is there is a lady I started to see in January and also anxious and trouble sleeping, panic attacks. And she had also thought it was hormones, went to this pharmacy that was specialized in compounding hormones and also had some nurse practitioners that would see the patients and write prescriptions. And they had done what we do as far as like functional medicine, hormone testing, looking at urinary hormones. But then her report actually didn't look that bad, but yet they still said, oh, you must need progesterone, and basically just sent her out with a prescription for progesterone. And she's on my labs here that you just did, like the progesterone isn't the problem. Like, yes, her symptoms were very much aligning up with progesterone deficiency, but the labs didn't really support that. When she came to us, I sort of said, okay, let's just do blood work, hormones, just to see like, does that align also with these urinary hormones? But long story short, like it took us, she recently followed up in August and is like 90% better. And the journey did look like balancing hormones, but she was premenopausal and didn't need like exogenous hormones. She just needed to really work on the stress and the HPA axis, that stress response. So we did things like recommending acupuncture. She went to trauma counseling. She also took some supplementation to help balance cortisol and give support to her adrenals, and also took another supplement called maca that helped to like sort of tell the brain to like make the hormones to extend her cycles and not have such a short cycle, which was leading to maybe less time with progesterone. And so now she just, instead of having like 2 weeks at the end of the like a cycle that she felt terrible, she maybe has a couple days that she feels like some of these symptoms, which we're still working on those. And so I point that out to say, like, sort of like you said, Sunny, like we've done one thing, we're like a lot better. And then now it's like sort of tweaking things to really get to that optimal health. And I think a lot of people come to functional medicine thinking like, I'm going to feel like as soon as I change this one thing, I get rid of gluten or I get rid of something in my diet, like miraculously everything is going to be 100% better. I'm going to be back to my normal self in a couple months. And while I wish that was the case for everybody, it's often not. So it is, it definitely is a journey, but bringing along, having a provider that's speaking into what they recommend and what testing is recommended. And then also having a coach in that process can be really important. Nicole, since you're on here, do you want to share a little bit about like the role of a coach and helping people through that journey?
Before that, I just wanted to reiterate like how important it is for the provider to hear the story. Because I've had so many patients that on day one, I take them through their whole lifetime of what got you here. And more often than I would like for it to happen is like, oh my gosh, you are the first person who has ever asked me those questions and actually listened to me. I'm like, that's heartbreaking. And also thank you. And I'm so glad that I can hold this space for you. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here, because nobody's listening, right? But yeah, the power of a coach in addition to the functional medicine can be incredibly helpful, because the lifestyle changes sometimes are not so easy. It's not just as easy as bringing home a list of here's the things I can eat, mom, like, yay. It's actually implementing that into your life. And we have a lot of mental blocks that go into it. Like the ice cream that we're having for a snack at night might give us feel good, like emotions and hormones in your body that like remind you of when your mom used to make malts for you and you would sit together and watch a movie or whatever. It's those sorts of emotional things that we don't necessarily know to detach from or know that we need to detach from in order to stop the habit of eating the thing that's causing inflammation in your body. And it's often the things that we crave that we have an emotional attachment to as well. And it's not just the feel good things, it's the coping mechanism of, I get home, I'm stressed. How do I decompress? Like, oh, we're not reaching for the glass of wine. We want to process those emotions. We're not reaching for the chips to give us a little dopamine hit with all the flavors that are on it, right? We want to be able to do this with letting our body do it. And getting there mentally is not always so easy because you have to deal with physical sensations with what your body's trying to tell you to do because that's what it's used to. But yeah, coaching can help you get into actually implementing it into your life if that's something that you're struggling with that so many people do.
Yeah. It's so important. I see some patients that choose not to go through the coaching process and it's just like they come back and they're like, I implemented this one thing, this one change. Then we end up spending a lot of the clinical time trying to unpack that. And I personally am not the best coach in the world, or nor do I really want to be, because you guys are so amazing that I'm just like, okay. And then I feel like I'm just telling them the same thing I told them the last visit. And okay, now you need to go work with our coaches.
Yeah, there's one thing that I wanted to add in there. A lot of times when you, like, I love having the provider and the coach separately, because then you come up with a plan and then they come to me and I'm like, okay, what do you actually think about this plan though? Because there's a lot of like, well, I think it's too much. Like, okay, then let's pick one thing that we can start with and we'll do that really well. And then we'll move on to all of the other things. Because if you come up with a plan of five different things you want to change, that can be really overwhelming for some and it can be really motivating for other people. So it's really personalizing that journey to like, okay, where are you right now? What are you willing and able to do right now that isn't so far of a leap that will make an impact on your progress?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I actually just have to second everything that you said, because like there was a patient that I was talking to, and it's not a functional medicine client at all, but I had to speak to her. They referred her to me because she wasn't taking her anxiety medication and she wasn't able to get her Wegovy medication. Okay. So we're just supposed to talk about that. But in digging in, I found out she's having this anxiety. She's been taking a proton pump inhibitor for several years. She hasn't been able to get a Wegovy because it's the official shortage, because everybody wants to get on those medications for the weight loss, right? And she had already talked to a dietitian, but she didn't know what to expect if she did get on the Wegovy. And I explained how her anxiety medication worked. She wasn't taking it how she should. I said, for it to work, you got to take this, but let's talk about these other medications. And I ended up kind of being her coach, talking to her about, you got to work on your nutrition and it could be overwhelming. You got to do one step at a time. And she had spoken to a lot of good providers, but just not framing it the way that I did. When I explained to her that if she does get the Wegovy, I said, well, this is your time right now to focus on the things that you need to work on, right? Let's get your nutrition going. Because when you get on the Wegovy, one of three things is going to happen. One, there are some people who get on these weight loss medications and they think it's just their free license. I'm just going to eat whatever I want because it's going to help me lose weight. And what happens? They end up gaining weight anyway, right? Number two, they get on the medication and they don't have any appetite at all. So they're losing weight, but they're also losing muscle mass. They're developing nutrient deficiencies. They're, you know, at risk for their symptomatic hypoglycemic episodes. I explained all of that to her. I said, the third option is this medication. If you're going to use it, it can help you. Unless you make these changes now, it'll be something that you'll have to take always. Let's focus on that. And she's like, nobody ever told me that. My doctor just said to use it and I don't want to use it forever. I didn't know about that. And I talked to her about, you need to know what your calories are for each day, how many, if you're hitting your macros. And she's like, I keep hearing macros. I don't know what they are. So I explained to her a little bit. I'm like, talk about it with your dietitian more, because in my day job, there's the care is separated according to disciplines, but it was an hour long call at least. And she said that she felt so empowered. She's like, I know all these things that I have to ask about and I'm going to start working on this now. And I don't know, it felt really good. And I thought she really would benefit from a health coach to help her through this journey. I'm only going to talk to her that one time, but I gave her what I could. So I agree. It really makes a difference. It helps people be accountable. They'll tell things to the health coach that they might not feel confident to share with their providers, or like that they're embarrassed to tell them. I think health coaches are a really good, really valuable resource to patients, for sure.
Awesome. I think that's a good place to wrap this up. So thank you so much, ladies, for joining today. And I hope this was valuable to the people listening. I think there's little tidbits of a lot of this that could be very impactful. So thanks for your time this morning. And you guys know where to find us at farmtotable, PharmToTable.life. If you want more of this workup and actually find a provider that's willing to listen to your story.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to come on and share a little bit about one of the nutrients that we just talked about on the podcast. As Sunny was sharing her story, she also mentioned how impactful vitamin D was to her health journey and how vitamin D deficiency was the root cause of her symptoms of fatigue and depression. And so we know that vitamin D is important in so many different processes in the body. And one of the also important things about vitamin D is it regulates the amount of calcium and production of certain protein like osteocalcin, and plays an important role in bone health. And so because of that increase in calcium, we really want to make sure that calcium from the vitamin D, that extra calcium will actually go to the bones and not stay in the arteries and cause calcifications of the arteries. So one additional important nutrient that we didn't mention on the podcast today is vitamin K2. And so vitamin K2 is actually what we consider a nutrient duo. So using vitamin D with vitamin K2 is really important, because vitamin K, while we know about the clotting factor aspects of vitamin K1, vitamin K2 is actually, instead of found in green leafy vegetables like spinach where K1 is found, K2 is actually typically found in most dairy products such as fermented milk or kefir or from grass-fed dairy. So it's something that would not everyone, especially if you're avoiding dairy, is going to get in their diet. And so supplementing can have a huge impact. And so vitamin K2, one of the really important roles is it directs the absorbed calcium to the bones and helps to promote the bone building and prevent future breakdown. So it actually has studies that it increases that activated osteoclastin after the administration of vitamin K2. It stimulates the cells that promote bone building and also inhibits cells that break down bone. So there's evidence to use it in patients that have low bone mineral density. And so patients that can benefit from this might have low bone mineral density scores when they're tested. But really, there's data also in some of the, you know, preventing that calcification of the arteries. There's even some interesting cancer data as well on K2, which we're not going to get into. But I just wanted to point that out, because taking vitamin D is super important, especially if you're in the northern half of the United States. But like Sunia, even you could be in Southern California and have vitamin D deficiency. So ask a provider about checking your vitamin D3 levels. And also, we normally recommend a little bit higher targets, but talk to your healthcare provider about what an appropriate target for you is, or meet with one of our clinical team to discuss that. But make sure that if you are at risk for low bone mineral density or have concerns about that, that you discuss that with your provider as well, and consider a product that has vitamin K2 and vitamin D. So we'll link in the show notes a blog post that we did about the nutrient duo, and also send you some links to some products that have both K2 and D that you can check out. So remember, vitamin D also needs its nutrient duo of K2 to really make sure that calcium is going into your bones and supporting strong bones.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.